Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Fox News was all over this story like flies on, I was going to say something more graphic. Let's just say on honey. All right? They were all over it. Hillary Clinton, criminal investigation. This could take down the front runner in the 2016 presidential election. What crimes did she commit with her emails? Turns out there is no criminal investigation. In fact, there's not even an allegation that she did anything wrong. And it all comes from the New York Times. The New York Times made a huge error. And frankly, at least to its credit, finally, the New York Times is slowly coming and admitting its fault. But wow. The irony is that the New York Times is often seen by conservatives as some kind of liberal, crazy liberal biased newspaper. I actually think the New York Times is just trying to do normally as best it can and doesn't really have a bias towards liberals or conservatives, at least not on its reportorial side. Clearest example of a conservative bias I can think of is the New York Times largely got us into the Iraq War. What happened back in, 10 years ago matters because it tells us a little bit about what happened today in the false Hillary Clinton story. Back when the run-up to the Iraq War, 2002, 2003, the Bush administration was desperately trying to persuade all of us that Saddam Hussein was a nuclear threat. That, as Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney said at the time, we don't want our first knowledge of Iraq's nuclear weapons to be a mushroom cloud. The clear supposition that Iraq was going to start nuking everybody. Of course, Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons at all. But it was very, very important for the administration to get some kind of credibility out because, well, the intelligence reports didn't support what they were saying. The world didn't support what they were saying. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, didn't support what they were saying. Just to give you a contrast, the IAEA very clearly says Iran was on the road to developing nuclear weapons, which is why we have this deal that President Obama signed before Congress right now. Very controversial, but at least there can be no doubt that Iran is on the road to developing nuclear power. Iraq, not so much. And people weren't really that scared. They were scared in a post-9/11 general fear for everything because, after all, 3,000 innocent Americans were murdered. And we all kind of knew the attack came from somewhere in the Middle East. And anyone who studied the matter knew it came from Bin Laden. It came from Afghanistan. It came, you could argue, possibly from Saudi Arabia because 15 of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, 4 were from Egypt. The one place that the attack did not come from on September 11th was Iraq. Sure, Saddam Hussein was a dictator. Sure, Saddam Hussein had been a thorn in the paw of the United States ever since the first Gulf War under George Bush Sr. But there was no evidence that Iraq had any true dangerous weapons of mass destruction. So the administration was really trying to ramp up credibility. They had designed they had designs on Iraq's oil fields. In fact, in the first week of the Bush presidency, according to the blockbuster book The Price of Loyalty, by Susskind, who goes through the exact details and actually gives a copy of the map whereby Bush officials, Cheney, helped various oil companies divide Iraq up. The British Petroleum gets this much, Exxon gets this much, and really just a complete colonial takeover there. But despite the fact that oil interests, U.S. oil interests, desperately wanted a war, The American people really didn't support it so much. We understood and we were angry about September 11th. We supported the war in Afghanistan to get the people who murdered 3,000 Americans. But very few of us actually supported going to war in Iraq. They had to build up the story. So that brings us to the New York Times. Now, had Dick Cheney said in an open interview to the New York Times, we think Iraq is really dangerous, and here's some data that I took off an intelligence analyst, that would have raised a lot of questions. For example, they could have interviewed the intelligence analyst, and we would have found out that Dick Cheney was going down in the bowels of the CIA and basically cherry-picking information, saying, oh, well, I'll take that thing from Curveball. No, I won't take the thing where the Germans say Curveball's unreliable. That source. And yeah, I'll take the one source in Czechoslovakia, and I'll ignore the 99 sources that say that one's false. I will basically look through the haystack of materials saying that Iraq is not a threat and pick out whatever little pieces of straw support my argument while ignoring 99.99% of the evidence. If Dick Cheney had done that openly in the New York Times, well, I think the American public would have been extremely skeptical. They would have wanted to see the evidence. They would have interviewed Dick Cheney and said, hey, you know, why are you saying this? And there would have been real skepticism about the war. Now, Dick Cheney may be evil, but he's not stupid. He knew that a public push toward war in the nation's newspapers would definitely lead to some blowback against him. So instead, he and his minions talked anonymously to a New York Times reporter by the name of Judith Miller, who basically put their story on the air, which I should say in the pages of the New York Times, did so unfiltered, did so without any skepticism, attributed it to high administration officials, didn't make it clear that basically this was the Bush administration pushing this story. In fact, later on, Scooter Libby would say a lie to the New York Times about Iraq getting yellow cake, a type of uranium for nuclear weapons, from Niger. Turned out the whole thing was entirely false. That was the whole Joe Wilson debacle, because Joe Wilson called him on it and then was subject to a smear campaign, again anonymously, again in the pages of the New York Times, again by high levels of the Bush administration. Some liberal newspaper, right? Doing the bidding, basically lying on behalf of a super conservative government that wanted to trick Americans into going into war. That's what the New York Times did. Now, you know, whether it was at the highest levels of the New York Times, you would hope so. Maybe it was just Judith Miller and she was hoodwinking her editors. We've never really found out all the details of why this happened. But I just think it's ironic that conservatives claim the New York Times is some liberal bastion when actually it probably more than any single other news organ caused Americans to believe in lies that got us into a war that we still suffer from today. I mean, the only reason why Iraq and Syria are a mess and ISIS is taking over, and we're going to talk about why actually I support a no-fly zone in Syria. But the whole reason why the whole region's a mess and 300,000 innocent Syrians are murdered, millions have left the country, about a third of the country has literally left because they have to save their lives. Iran's power is on the upswing. And indeed, you could argue that Iran got nuclear power largely because its main enemy, its main counterweight in the Middle East, Iraq, was made weak. So we're still living with the consequences of the New York Times accepting uncritically anonymous sources from the Bush administration in the past. All of this is run up to say that when the New York Times takes anonymous sources claiming Hillary Clinton has a criminal investigation into her, you'd think they'd be a little careful before they'd publish such a thing. There was a headline late Thursday. It said, criminal inquiry sought in Hillary Clinton's use of email. Yikes! Criminal inquiry sought in Hillary Clinton's use of email. It turns out the story was false. There was no criminal inquiry. There wasn't even an allegation that Hillary Clinton had done the slightest thing wrong. The question was, and we'll get into it after the break, the question was whether in some of the emails, the unclassified emails, that Hillary Clinton released, some of them maybe should have been retroactively classified before being submitted to the public. In other words, the Intelligence Committee wasn't worried about Hillary at all. They were worried about the Republicans pushing that a bunch of her emails be made public before they were ready to be vetted by the Intelligence Committee. If anything was a threat to our national security, it was the Republicans. It was their premature demand to release this data, all because of their partisan attack on Hillary Clinton. The story should have been Republicans threatened to damage national security in their vendetta against Hillary. That would have been an interesting story. And it largely seems to be the case. Now, we don't know all the facts. I'll tell you what we know when we come back. But let's be clear. The New York Times is just starting now. They've already retracted their story. They did so quietly without any official retraction in the night, Thursday night. And now everyone's on their tail saying, why didn't you admit you made a terrible mistake? Who were these anonymous sources that lied to you? How could such a mistake happen? And finally, now people are talking about the anatomy of a smear. It's Mark Levine. If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this. Scoop, I'm your host, Mark Levine. How did the New York Times get a horrific smear against Hillary Clinton so wrong? I mean, don't get me wrong. The Republicans were lapping it up. They loved it. They loved it almost as much as when Dick Cheney lied to the New York Times. And the New York Times published his push for an Iraq war without any kind of any even understanding that it came from Dick Cheney or the other minions pushing for a war in Iraq. So they loved it. It was false, but they loved it. And who better to put forward a smear, a libel, really? It was libelous. It was defamatory against Hillary Clinton than the New York Times. Now, to be clear, just for those of you who are going to tell me about defamation law, which I do understand, it is true that to defame a public official is distinct from a private person. This would be clearly libelous against a private person. Against a public official, you have to prove maliciousness. And I actually do not think, unless it comes out otherwise, that the New York Times maliciously tried to smear Hillary Clinton. I do think, though, that whoever provided the New York Times with information maliciously tried to smear Hillary Clinton. And while I understand why reporters want to have anonymous sources from time to time, the classic example is a whistleblower. If there's somebody who works in government who knows that government has broken the law and can't tell the truth for fear of being fired, that's a clear case where you want a whistleblower basically telling reporters. For example, Snowden, for example. Had he kept his name quiet and had he disclosed the government spying on us, which I continue to believe is unconstitutional, but violation of the Fourth Amendment, you know, that would be a clear case where the New York Times would want to keep its source anonymous. But when an anonymous source lies to a newspaper in order to libel a public official, and presumably does so with malicious intent, and remember, if you maliciously lie about someone, if you have a vendetta against someone, even a public official, and you tell some lie about them, particularly as evil a lie as a suggestion of a criminal investigation, in order to hurt them, I don't know that the anonymous rule should be a protection. I would think you could be able to sue and find out who that anonymous source is. I don't think the press privilege should apply. I am okay with press privileges for anonymous truth tellers. I am not okay with press privileges for anonymous liars. I think if an anonymous liar, like Dick Cheney, or whoever gave Judith Miller the lies about Iraq, or whoever gave the lies about Hillary Clinton, if they lie to a newspaper, I think that they should be under investigation. But the New York Times, to be clear, did not handle this well at all. They put out the story Thursday night. They claimed there was a criminal inquiry sought in Hillary Clinton's use of email. And then when they found out they were wrong, and by the way, you think they would check to see whether or not they were right prior to publishing? I mean, the New York Times is kind of the most prestigious newspaper in the United States. You'd think they'd check their facts. But when they got it wrong, rather than do a nice little mea culpa and say, hey, you know, we were wrong, they found out they were wrong and they quickly changed the story. As if people wouldn't remember a New York Times post. Now, I mean, I get it. Sometimes I post on Facebook and I have a typo. So what do? I delete that post and I put up the new post without the typo because I don't want it to show edited. I want to pretend like, you know, I always write it perfectly the first time. I never do a typo. I admit it. I do that. You will find sometimes old posts of mine that are quickly deleted because I had a typo. But number one, this wasn't a typo. Number two, this ain't me. This is the New York Times. Number three, it's a smear campaign against the leader in the 2016 presidential election, making all the right-wing outfits just go bananas with excitement. They were going to take Hillary Clinton down. Well, they changed it in the middle of the night. They removed the word criminal. They made clear that it was no allegation that Hillary Clinton had done anything wrong. In fact, if anyone did anything wrong, it was the Republicans who ordered it to be released early. And they did so without a correction, without noting that they'd made the mistake earlier. They just sort of changed it and hoped no one would notice that the New York Times had smeared, I think on its front page. It was right up at the front, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was. Three-column headline on the front page. Yes, on the front page, had criticized the woman who's most likely to be the next president of the United States. So that's a real problem. And readers are angry. They're threatening to cancel their subscriptions. They're arguing that the Times is not able to fairly talk about the 2016 campaign. And they're demanding that the New York Times confess as to exactly why they were printing Republican lies about Hillary Clinton on the front page from anonymous sources as if they were true, as if they weren't complete libelous BS. I think the New York Times still has a lot to answer for. I was called to Fox Saturday. I was called to talk about whether, you know, this investigation would destroy the Hillary Clinton campaign. I, of course, put the blame where the blame is due, right there at the feet of the New York Times. In fact, if we have some time, I'll play for you some of the things that I had to say on Fox News. But I'd like to know what you think about all this. We even had some Democrats saying, hey, we trust Hillary Clinton, with a BS story in the New York Times. Why aren't people more angry? That's what I want to know. Anyway, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. So the New York Times libeled Hillary Clinton. They defamed her. They claimed that there was a criminal investigation into her emails. Turns out not to be true. It turns out that, in fact, there's no allegation that she did anything wrong. But the story went out there. It was corrected in the middle of the night. And the damage has been done. Already Donald Trump is talking about Hillary Clinton's criminal acts, and Fox News is all over this, as well as a lot of right-wing outlets. So how did it happen? Why did it happen? And what can we do to prevent really respected, prominent newspapers like the New York Times from relying on anonymous sources that turn out to be wrong? Again, toll-free number 888-488-MARK. Let's go to Randy in Pennsylvania on line two. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Hi, pretty good. Hi, I just wanted to say, why would I pay for misleading information?
Well, a lot
why
of readers are asking
pay
that.
For that.
A lot of readers are asking that. There are a number of readers that are canceling their subscription. Here's the thing. Look, I understand that it's very hard for a prominent newspaper like the New York Times that reports on stories all over the world to get every story right every time. That's why there's a corrections page, right? I get that. I do think, though, when it's the leading presidential candidate, you want to be a little more careful before you allege a criminal investigation. I mean, this isn't a question of, oh, they got the numbers wrong. You know, it was a million, not a billion bushels of wheat sold yesterday. You know, this is a crucial story. This is a front page story.
Yeah, but like right-wing publications or news outlets, they don't really retract themselves very prominently.
They don't.
You know, when they make a mistake.
They don't. And what they tend to do is they put it in a little box on A2 that almost is nestled among the ads and no one practically reads it. I had this problem, by the way, at the Washington Post. After I won my primary for the Democratic primary for Virginia delegate, they got my name wrong. They spelled it wrong, and then they actually got my bio wrong. They gave me the bio of some other candidate. So they said, Mark Levin, an executive at a technology firm, won the election. Well, my name's not Mark Levin. It's Mark Levine with an E at the end. And number two, I'm not an executive at a technology firm. They were describing the bio of one of my opponents. An egregious error. So I called the reporters. I sent them an email. I said, you have to correct this. So the story was on the front page of the Metro section. They didn't correct it on the front page of the Metro section. They corrected it on A2 down there nestled among the masthead. And, you know, I don't know how many people read corrections, but the New York Times says the same thing as the Washington Post. They corrected this in the back on A2. It seems to me when a newspaper makes a mistake on page one, the correction has to be on page one. It needs to say, correction, the New York Times falsely reported this story. We apologize for the error. Put that in the headlines, and then I'll get some respect for a newspaper understanding they make mistakes. Does that make sense?
Me too.
Me too. You know, if you're putting on page A16, okay, then your correction could be on A16. But when you have the front page attack on the leading candidate for president and you accuse her of criminality, I think that is better. And it turns out, by the way, they didn't even correct it at first. They corrected it. I mean, they corrected it, but they didn't say they were issuing a correction. They just changed the story and hoped no one would notice on the website. So I think they have a lot of questions to answer. One thing that's interesting, though, is part of the reason they do this is because they rely on anonymous sources so much. And I just wonder whether anonymous sources within government should be so carefully relied on, particularly if they're getting the stories wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate your call, Randy. Particularly first-time callers are always welcome. So thanks for calling in. Toll-free number is 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. So Fox News called me up and asked me to appear on television Saturday, and they wanted to know, you know, whether this is going to hurt Hillary Clinton, whether voters could trust her, and their focus was on the referral and not the fact that the New York Times got so many details of the referral wrong. I want to play for you briefly what I had to say about it on Saturday.
And Mark, I want to start with you. Why would the Justice Department be asked to investigate this if there is no criminal act?
Well, there is no criminal act. In fact, that was falsely reported by the New York Times, which had to issue a retraction. And also, there was this allegation that it involved wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton that also had to be retracted. It's not wrongdoing by her. What she did is she released material that was not classified. Now, in the rush to release 30,000 emails, 55,000 pages of emails, there's some of the things the intelligence community wants to retroactively classify. And they're saying, hey, Republicans, don't rush to get out in the public so soon. We want to check and make sure that none of this should be retroactively classified. Not as top secret, not the highest level, but some of the things as secret. And as someone who's worked for the Department of Homeland Security, I worked on their business in Congress, I can tell you that a lot of things are classified that we might not think need to be classified, but I think it's a matter of them just checking to make sure that nothing's going wrong here.
Okay, Brad.
So I make it very clear. The story is wrong. And it's important to understand exactly what happened here. Because this is going to be, I guarantee you, this whole email scandal, so-called email scandal, is going to be hyped by Republicans all the way till Election Day. I guarantee you, because I think I'll put money on Hillary Clinton being the Democratic nominee. I guarantee you within 1 week of Election Day, November 2016, someone somewhere is going to say email. Someone somewhere is going to say Benghazi. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone somewhere is going to say Whitewater. Remember the Whitewater investigation? That was allegations of criminality into Bill and Hillary Clinton's business dealings. They found nothing there. The first couple were entirely exonerated. And when it comes to Benghazi, Hillary Clinton was exonerated too. In fact, even the Republican committee, the Republican House Intelligence Committee, run by the same people who bring you John Boehner, run by the same people who are so right-wing that they won't even believe in non-discrimination laws against gay people, for example, or the ones that are trying to prevent women from having abortions. This same right-wing house looked at the facts and said, oh, well, I guess Hillary did nothing wrong. You know, maybe we should have had better security there. That's a fair point. It wasn't Hillary's responsibility. She didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, there's some things we can talk about with Benghazi. But there's no scandal. There's no cover-up. There's just, well, you know, the Republicans, by cutting funding for security for our embassies around the globe, may have caused a real problem in Libya. So she was exonerated there. Now there's this email so-called scandal. And the scandal is that Hillary Clinton did what Colin Powell also did as Secretary of State, and frankly, what her most likely rival, George W. Bush, did as Governor of Florida. She handled some public business with her private email account. Now, the server, the argument is the server could have been hacked, and it's a reasonable argument, except, of course, this wasn't, you know, doing it on AOL or Google or whatever, Gmail. She did it on a private server in her home. I guess the answer is that she should have done it through the State Department. I guess Colin Powell should have as well. Frankly, George W. Bush should have done it through the official Florida server. And, you know, I get it. I myself have a political email account, but every now and then a friend or someone writes on my personal email account and we talk about politics. I'm not Hillary Clinton. I'm not Secretary of State. You can criticize her for making a mistake in this regard. But there's a huge difference between a public official making a mistake and some kind of criminal investigation. All right? She did what Colin Powell did. And I don't hear anyone arguing that Colin Powell should be subject to some criminal investigation. I don't hear anybody saying that. In fact, I don't hear anybody saying that Colin Powell needs to turn over all his emails. But they're looking for anything. So they insisted that Hillary Clinton turn over all her emails at the State Department. And she did. She turned over every email dealing with public business on her private server. She turned it all over to the State Department. That was the 30,000 emails I was talking about. 55,000 pages of emails. Now, none of them were classified. None of them were top secret. None of them were even marked secret. But she turned them over, and now Republicans are itching to look at them, and so is the media. Want Freedom of Information Act requests. Well, the thing is that just because something isn't top secret doesn't mean necessarily you want the public looking at it. The problem isn't that Hillary Clinton divulged it to the public. The problem is she divulged it to the State Department, and the Republicans want to divulge it to the public. And so retroactively, there are some in the Foreign Service who are saying, this isn't top secret classified, but let's mark this as secret. You know, not like the nuclear codes, but maybe we don't want our ally to know that Hillary Clinton said something negative about them in her private correspondence to someone else in government. You know, you could just see Hillary Clinton saying, I wish Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan would cooperate more with us. And Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan might not like to hear that, even though, well, it's kind of general knowledge that he's been difficult to deal with. By the way, I want to get to talking about Turkey a little bit later on in the broadcast if there's time. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. But you can understand why they don't necessarily want to release everything. And so to me, what's going on here is the intelligence inspector generals are saying, wait, before you release all of Hillary Clinton's emails to the public, we want to run it by us. Just make sure that's okay. That's all this is about. It's an abundance of caution. It makes sense. They may want to retroactively keep some of this stuff from becoming public. That makes sense. After all, Colin Powell's hasn't been made public. And indeed, George W. Bush has made zero not 30,000, not 15,000, not 5,000, zero of his emails public. What was he doing in Florida? Was he trying to suppress the African-American vote? We don't know. He won't tell us. His emails aren't there. If he did, that would be or could be a crime. That'd be pretty serious. Why aren't the media asking for FOIA requests from Jeb Bush? By the way, Jeb Bush, I believe, deleted most of these emails already. But we could still try. And when he refused to disclose them, we could focus on the fact that he's deleted them. Why this double standard? Why is the New York Times getting all the information wrong? Sure, the right-wing media likes it. But why the New York Times? My impression is that people are feeding this BS to the New York Times. The New York Times is simply taking the information it receives and posting it as if it were true. But a reputable news organization doesn't do that and shouldn't do that. What are your thoughts? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the egregious libel of Hillary Clinton by the New York Times and why it occurred. Now, there's a wonderful story in Newsweek, by the way, called Here's How the New York Times Bungled the Hillary Clinton Email Story that I highly recommend that you read. Basically, what happened is this. Because of the other New York Times bombshell, which really isn't much of a bombshell, that Hillary Clinton wrote some emails on her personal email account, the media reports basically are based on the emails that Hillary Clinton forwarded to the State Department. So the media is all over the State Department with Freedom of Information Act requests, otherwise known as FOIA requests, demanding to see the documents. The idea is there must be a there, because people are touting it as something there. Maybe there's something there. Well, anytime there's a FOIA request to any level of government, particularly someone who works with matters under classification, they do a routine check to make sure that nothing released should be classified. Now, Hillary Clinton didn't handle in her private email account. There's zero allegation that she handled any classified matter, but or any matter marked as classified. But after release, there are some things that retroactively, I think there's four emails so far out of 30,000, that the government retroactively marked as, you know what, we don't really want to disclose this. That happens in FOIA requests all the time. Some of them are really stupid. I don't know if you've ever seen a document released under a Freedom of Information Act request. I forget who wrote the book on the CIA recently where virtually every page was blacked out. And they would leave one word in, and then they blacked out everything else. Forgot whose book that was. I saw the guy with the book on The Daily Show. But the point is that is a routine government document. It's actually the kind of thing that, well, is frankly pretty boring. It's just like, all right, we need to check these things before it goes out. It's kind of like, I don't know, an editor's request to a reporter to check a story for errors before it goes out. It's pretty boring. Could you imagine the scandal that came out? New York Times editor finds reporter story false, submits it for criminal investigation. Well, no, there was no criminal investigation. But yeah, an editor is checking a story, not even saying it's false, but just to see if there might be some elements in there that can be made more accurate. And that occurs every day when an editor goes over a reporter story. And frankly, it's the kind of thing that they should have done in the New York Times before printing this story. But that's hardly news, particularly when you take out the criminal and the falseness stuff. When you remove the criminal referral and you remove the Hillary Clinton, what's left to the story? Sure, it's a criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton, except that it doesn't involve criminality and it doesn't involve Hillary Clinton. Other than that, it's really serious. It's kind of like saying, I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't have any peanut butter and I don't have any jelly. But other than that, it is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I say, munching on my two slices of bread. Now, some people see two slices of bread and they say two slices of bread. Others see a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, except for the peanut butter and the jelly both not being there. But this is the kind of thing that enters the public domain. You're going to hear people from now until Election Day talk about the Hillary Clinton email scandal as if it were one. Talk about the criminal investigation as if there were one. And there wasn't. And a reputable institution like the New York Times has to post a major mea culpa. Mea culpa means my fault in Latin. Admitting guilt. You know, just like a parent wants the kid to do when the kid steals some cookies from the cookie jar. You want to do it publicly. You want to do it clearly so that the mistake doesn't happen again. I want a front page story on the New York Times on why they bungled this story and an apology to Hillary Clinton. Now, there is something posted by the public editor, it's called, kind of the New York Times ombudsman. They don't really have an ombudsman anymore. But they do talk about it. This is a story called A Clinton Story Fraught with Inaccuracies, How It Happened and What Next. Okay? And I don't get the New York Times print. I hope it's in the New York Times print. But this story just came out today. It was published at 10 a.m. Some 4 days after the libelous story that got it wrong. And they point out that the mistake wasn't the Times. It was with all the officials that lied to them. All of these anonymous officials that said something that was false. Okay. Well, if anonymous officials told you something that's false, maybe they shouldn't be anonymous. What do you think if a newspaper reporter said, look, I will protect your identity as long as you tell me truthful things? You know, maybe it could make a deal like you could be a little bit wrong. But when the heart and substance of what an anonymous source tells a reporter is wrong, maybe that anonymous source shouldn't be anonymous. The Justice Department, actually, which hadn't issued any kind of statement on this, was forced by the New York Times to issue a statement. This, by the way, is according to the New York Times public editor, the one looking over what the New York Times did. It says that the New York Times, by Friday afternoon, issued a terse statement saying that the referral related to the potential compromise of classified information. It was not a criminal referral. So the New York Times public editor says this was competitive pressure. The New York Times wanted a scoop. They went back and forth insisting on confirmation of key elements, but they didn't actually see the referral. So they just had to go by these officials. Well, you know, if the referral's real, why wouldn't they turn it over to the Times? They got anonymous sources. They can't see the criminal justice referral. And they're just jumping the gun and assuming it's right. Why not ask the Justice Department if it's true? After all, the Justice Department had to deny your untrue story. Why not ask them if it's true? Why not say, we plan to report this. Is it true? Before we libel the leading candidate for president. So when this story comes up in the future, when your Republican friends, when your colleagues, your relatives, your friends at the water cooler say, you know, I don't know that I trust Hillary Clinton. Didn't she do something kind of squirrely with her email? Say no. The New York Times got it wrong. Check the record. Check the Newsweek article on how they bungled the story. If the New York Times admits now they got it wrong. Don't believe everything you read at first blush, even if it's from the New York Times. This is Mark Levine. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. Talk to you tomorrow.